children are an heritage of the Lord. Whoso would offend one of these little ones, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. The next few sentences that I will share with you come from an article written by Martell Pace that appeared in Joe Williams' bulletin, Northport, Alabama, within the last few days. We've seen a tremendous growth of a most serious problem in America. There are now 3.3 million children being raised by their grandparents. Over in South Haven, Mississippi, lives Bernice Rook and her husband. On a hot summer day in 1991, she was driving her five-year-old grandson, Zachary, to pick up his sister, Ellison, then six, at day camp. The mother was in drug addiction treatment, but had dropped out. The father could not handle his long hours, and the kids, too. The other grandparents refused to take them. Were going to be put in foster care. His parents, the Rooks, were the only solution. Out of love for their grandchildren, they took them. On this particular day, as they were driving, Zachary said, "Grandma, what would you buy if you were rich?" She named several things and then asked, "Zachary, what would you buy?" The five-year-old lad suddenly became very serious and said, "I'd buy my mommy and daddy back." I don't know that I've ever had an article that has come across my desk that hit me between the eyes any more than that one did this last week. A five-year-old asked, "If you had all the money that you needed, what would you buy?" And he said, "I would buy my mommy and daddy back." There's not a time of the year that we think about giving and gifts more than this season, especially in the family circle. We had an opportunity Friday night to be with my parents, some of our children and our grandchildren as we went to Dad's and Mother's to have Christmas with them. I look forward to this coming weekend, this next weekend, to seeing all of our children at our house and our grandchildren. Last night when I came back from Nashville, I brought packages from two of the families put under our tree and had to make several loads from the van to bring them in. Most of us have been thinking about shopping for Christmas, at least for several days. Judy, since December 26th of last year. Most of us are thinking about what will be under the tree, what we will be giving our sons and our daughters. And you know, perhaps, what's needed the most is not something that we will wrap in a package and put under the tree. And perhaps all of us are guilty to some degree of failing to think about those things that are most important. I wonder how many children there are living this week who would like to buy mommy and daddy back. I suspect that there are a large number, not only in other parts of the world, but in our own part of the world, and sometimes even among our church families, who would rather have mommy and daddy as mommy and daddy than anything that could be bought, anything that could be wrapped, anything that might be put under the tree. I think I know some children who would like to buy a mommy and a daddy that love each other, who really love each other, who began their marriage because they loved each other and who have let that love grow one for another through the pain and the time that has been involved in the marriage relationship. Who loved each other in the right way and in the right set of circumstances when that child was conceived and when that child was born. And who wanted that child when it was born and thought about wanting it even before that. Folks, in so many instances today, we have people who are getting married who haven't really thought about what true love means, who haven't really thought about what it's going to mean to be a mommy and a daddy, to really be a mommy and a daddy. When we read passages like Ephesians 5 and see that the husband is to love his wife and to nourish her and cherish her, even as Christ the church, we're reading about this kind of love. And when we read in that passage that the wife is to respect and reverence her husband as the head of the family and love him in that way, we're reading about that kind of love. And although the home is older than the church, perhaps when we consider the kind of love that Christ had for the church and that the church is to have for him, it helps us to have a little bit better idea of the kind of love that husbands and wives are to have for each other and daddies and mothers are to have for one another. Someone has said that every child that is brought into this world deserves to have a mommy and a daddy that love him and love each other. And I believe that is so true. How many children do you suppose there are this week who, if they had Ross Perot's money, would like to use it to buy a mommy and a daddy that love each other? And how many of them do you suppose there are who would like to buy a mommy and a daddy that love that child, who really love that child more than anything else on this earth? The love of parents for children is something that is taught in God's Word, but I think something that is understood even through common sense. And all of us are aware by experience and observation of how important a mother's love and a father's love really is. Think about the unfortunate children today who do not have that kind of love. Think about the little 5-year-old boy and the little 6-year-old girl in the story that I read about, whose mother had forsaken them to go after drugs, and whose father, apparently in this case, was trying his best but could not take care of all the responsibilities. And so in this case, the grandparents had assumed the responsibility to see that those children had what they needed. How many children are there today in the world like that? And how many are there where, though it is not apparent to the outside, who are still starving for the love of a mommy and a daddy in the home, who sleep under the same roof with mommy and daddy and eat at the same table and yet do not experience the kind of love that God would have to exist in that family circle? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's another way of saying love them. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. He's saying, daddies, love your children. Mommies, love your children. And I've always felt that those of you that are mothers maybe have a little bit better concept of what is involved in this kind of love than those of us that are fathers. And yet it was to the fathers that God gave the basic responsibility to be a leader in this kind of loving situation in the family. If I had all the money in the world, the little boy said, I'd buy mommy and daddy back. I think he was wanting that kind of unselfish love that every parent should give in the direction of every child. A love that causes that mommy and daddy to love the child even to the point as David loved Absalom, even when mistakes are made, even when there is rebellion. To still love that child with a father's love and with a mother's love. An unselfish love. I remember something that happened a few years ago, and I think I have shared this with you before under another heading. I helped conduct a funeral service for a lady who was almost 100, and her son, who preached some, helped in the service. I don't remember what I said. I don't remember what he said except one thing. He said, "My mother was, I was several years old before I realized that my mother liked apples." He went ahead to explain that they had grown up in a setting where they did not have many things and sometimes did not have enough apples to go around. And he thought his mother did not like them because she always saw to it that he had one, even if she didn't. There's not enough money in the world to buy that kind of love. And there's not a gift that can be given that can be wrapped in a package that is worth that kind of love. I believe there are children today, if they had the money, who would like to buy some time from mommy and daddy or for mommy and daddy to spend with them. Recently, I was looking at some statistics that indicated that most fathers spend less than 1 minute per day with each child where there is nothing else going on or nothing else being considered except the relationship of that father and that child. Less than 1 minute. I know that there are responsibilities that parents and mothers have, that dads and mothers have. And I know sometimes there are things that are beyond our control. I think all of us have experienced those times when we would like to be one place and had to be somewhere else. I know that when our children were small, there are times that even in the name of the work of the Lord, I had to be away from them when I wanted to be with them. I realize that there are times like this. But mommies and daddies, if we allow other things to take so much of our time that we do not have the time to spend with our own boys and girls when they're in those formative years, are we using good judgment? There will be times that grandparents need to take care of the children, and I hope there are times that we need to do that. I look forward to the times that ours can be with us. But granddad and grandmother should not be dad and mommy. There will be times when a babysitter is needed. But a babysitter is not mommy. There will be times under some circumstances, especially in some difficult circumstances, where a daycare center may have to be used. And I know of instances, and my hat's off especially, to a mother who has to assume the responsibility of the father and the mother in the caring for the children. And I realize that these times exist. And I'm not wise enough to give you the answer to all the problems that exist there, but there's one thing of which I am sure. No matter what happens, your child still needs a mommy and still needs a daddy. And there is nobody else on this earth that can do that for them like you can do it for them. I sat the other night with others that are in this room in a responsible situation where we had to deal with decisions relative to children and what would happen to them in the next few months. I sat and listened to comments from a young couple whose 2-year-old child had been taken from them at the age of 1 month, and I believe, knowing the circumstances, rightly so, and who were requesting at this time the possibility of parental visits within the own home, of letting the child come in to be with its own father and mother in its own home. Decisions had to be made, and I believe the right decisions were made in these cases. But I sat and listened to that young woman make this statement: he doesn't know who his mommy is. He doesn't know who his mommy is. How many children are there today who don't really care too much how many degrees we have in school? How many times our pictures are on the social page in the newspaper? Who have very little idea of how much money is in the bank? And who could care less whether or not the deed of the house where we live has our name or somebody else's on it? And all those things are important in their own way. But children who are more interested in having a mommy and a daddy who care and who love, whether it's a rented shack or a paid-for mansion. If I had all the money in the world, the little boy said, I'd buy my mommy and daddy back. How many are there today that would be glad to use all the money exists to buy the example of a Christian on the part of mommy and daddy? Who, instead of seeing them lift a glass of an intoxicant to their lips during this season, see them use those lips instead for a kiss. And instead of seeing their hands filled with cigarettes, see those hands on the ends of the arms that hug and express love to that little boy or that little girl. How many children are there today who may not realize it now, but at least will later, who would give all the money in the world to have a mommy and a daddy who care enough to go to Bible study and worship? Who would rather sleep 1 hour less on Sunday morning and be in a Bible class studying themselves while their children are in another Bible class studying about God and studying about Jesus? How many children are there today who at least as they grow older would say, I'd give all the money in the world if I could just remember seeing my daddy pray and seeing my mother read from the Word of God? Folks, we've got to get our thinking straight. It's not the package that's under the tree that matters, but the person who's sitting by the tree that put it there that makes the difference. And if there is any set of circumstances where the gift without the giver is bare has its meaning, it's in the discussion before us this morning. It's not the amount of money that is used to buy the gadget, but it's the amount of love that's in the heart that bought whatever it is and gives whatever it is to the one who loves. Zachary, this grandmother said, if you had all the money in the world, what would you buy? I'd buy my mommy and daddy back. Friday night, we spent some time with my dad and mother. They don't have a lot of things that a lot of people in this world have, but honesty and decency and morality and love for children and grandchildren and family is something that they have. I thank my God for my dad and mother. And my prayer is that God will help Judy and me to continue, even though we're at the grandparent stage now, of being the kind of examples that even our grandchildren can look to, never be ashamed of, but thankful for, and could follow and go in the direction that God would want them to be. Our son has 2 children. Our middle daughter is expecting her first. My prayer is that if they never have very much, and sometimes it seems that there are struggles in their families, financially and otherwise, like in all, if they never have very much, if they can give to our grandchildren a mommy and a daddy that love each other and love God and love them, it won't matter what is or what is not under the tree Saturday or at any other time. Brother Pace ended the article with this paragraph: children need one great thing in life to make them secure and whole. A mommy and a daddy who love each other. And he might have added, a mommy and a daddy who love God and love each other. That will give your child the self-confidence he will need to face the trials of life. Please think seriously about this. I hope Saturday morning when we get up in our families to enjoy what will be a beautiful, wonderful occasion, that we will stop long enough to bow our heads and thank God for the blessings that we have and the things that really matter. And I hope if in your family circle there is something that's less than it ought to be along the lines of discussion this morning, that between now and then you'll do something about it and realize above everything else that there is nothing that you can give your son or daughter this Christmas season or any other time that's worth more than a mommy and a daddy that love God, that child, and each other. There is nothing you can give your child that's worth more than the example of a Christian father and a Christian mother. Yes, I believe the greatest reason for being a Christian is to be able to go to heaven and save our souls, but right close to it is to be able to set the right kind of example for others, especially for those whom we, with God's help, brought into this world. A mommy and a daddy who care. Some of us may need to make some changes. Some of these changes may need to be made in our own private lives, in our own private way. Some may need to be made by coming back and getting our lives right with God and right with each other. Some may need to be made by becoming Christians, being baptized into Christ to become a part of His family, to show our love to Him and to show our love to others by being Christians. If you had all the money in the world, son, what would you buy? I'd buy my mommy and daddy back. If you're not the kind of mommy or daddy that you ought to be, or whatever your relationship in the family is, come to Christ and make it that way as together we stand and sing.